you know, my son was like, yeah, I'm afraid of monsters. And he's like, okay, great. You've been to the zoo, right? If at this, like, there's a tiger there, there's a lion there, every apex predator in the world is in the zoo. Have you ever seen a monster in the zoo? No. You know why? Because if they existed, we would have caught them and stared at them by now. The horrifying things at the bottom of the ocean, we've kind of seen. Not all of it. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of it. But kids don't know that. But, like, alien, you can have octopus. This alien octopus.
Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I am Jonathan Beard of Blubbins.
I am Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
And boy, do we have a barn burner for you today.
Burner.
You see what I did?
That was so good.
Thank you.
That was accidental.
I have a couple
of dad jokes.
Anybody
who plays it, like, I need somebody to play back the video of John realizing that he made that
pun. You think
it
was accidental?
I do.
I want you to know, like, that one was accidental, but I have multiple puns throughout the rest of the recordings that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks.
Your face is so good at, like, when you give away yourself. He was like, oh my gosh, I'm a genius.
Oh, that was so good. Okay, I have a question for you to start today.
Okay. What are we talking about first?
We're not talking.
Oh,
I'm
not
telling
tell
you
them?
Yet.
Okay, sorry.
In a second, though, we will. In your opinion.
Okay.
In your opinion. Best female hero in any movie depicted. And don't Wonder Woman. None of that.
Best female hero.
Lead hero. Doesn't even have to be like a hero, like a heroic character.
Sure.
In the, like, I'm fighting you type of hero, but just.
Movie, TV show, any media?
Yeah, strongest lead female character in a movie, TV, whatever. Just like, yeah, you're killing it.
All right, you ready for the internet to end us?
I'm ready.
Or at least end me? Sansa Stark in Game of Thrones. Everybody hates her. They're wrong.
Wait, Sansa, the redheaded one?
The redheaded one. The one who ends up Queen of the North, the only person who lives up to her father's expectations of her children, the only person who thought to put away wheat
Arya?
For a long wit. No, she's a garbage. She's lucky. She is a lucky little punk, is all she is.
She works hard.
No, she didn't.
What?
She sat there and was like, I don't understand why I have to train for everything. How come I have to work for everything? Why don't you just give it to me as my right? The only reason she stayed alive the whole time was because the freaking Hound took care of her, okay? Sansa Stark is out here on her own, getting abused, getting beaten, and she remembers to, like, store up wheat for the long winter. She covers the breastplates with leather. She actually cares about her people. She's a good leader. She's fair. She's just. She's great. And she's not willing to bend the knee even to her brother. Sansa Stark, best female character. But people don't like her because she's feminine. Because when she was a child, she was annoying. But then again, all children
see
are
that's interesting. I just didn't like her because, like, I just found her mostly uninteresting and I just felt bad for her all the time. Like,
that's because you didn't think about it. You didn't look at all the
yeah,
things she was doing. She
probably
was quietly keeping the North alive.
I love that. You know who I think is one of the greatest female strong lead characters of all time?
Go for it.
Well, before Millie Bobby Brown in Damsel, it was Julia Roberts in Erin Brockovich.
Oh, pretty good.
She's pretty awesome, right?
That was pretty good.
Like, yeah. she was awesome in that film.
She really was.
A lot of heart.
Yeah, she won an Oscar for it.
She did.
Yeah.
See?
But then she forgot to thank Erin Brockovich.
Yikes.
In her Oscar speech.
That's okay.
Yeah.
She was great. But listen, Millie Bobby Brown in Damsel. We're going to be talking about Damsel today.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
It's a little bit. It's like a teenage version.
Yeah, I was calling it preteen Game of Thrones is what it is. If you liked the storytelling and the magic and the you know, adventure of Game of Thrones, but you would really prefer there to be less boobs, swearing, and blood, here you are.
There you are. I agree. And actually, I may give a go at this plot, unless you have plot notes written down already and names of characters.
I always have plot notes written down, but I'll fill in characters when you don't know them. Go.
Oh, this is really fun.
Okay,
great.
Go.
Okay, so this is about a family, a dad and a stepmom,
mm-hmm.
and two young daughters of the dad from mm-hmm. his prior marriage.
Elodie and Floria.
I knew Elodie and Floria. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in this town and they're having a tough time. They need money. They don't think they're going to make it through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the king has this plan that he is going to marry Elodie off to this really, really rich prince.
In Aria. However you say that.
It's a casino in Vegas.
Yes. No, there's a U. A-U-R-I-A.
Great.
Aria.
And so for in exchange for a lot of gold, and it seems too good to be true, and you find out once they get there and live and get to this beautiful castle in this awesome, beautiful area where they have tons of wealth and tons of food and they're going to be happily ever after, that it is a little bit too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom and dad, the king and queen of this place, who married their son off to Elodia.
Elodie.
Dang it, Elodie.
That was Floria and Elodie put together.
It's like Melody without an M.
It is.
And they decide that they have to, there's a drag. Okay, you go ahead. You're so much better at this than me. Dang it.
So Arya has been being like kept alive or kept going for years because it's on an island that was inhabited by dragons. And the story that they tell is that the king had like defended them against the dragons and put up this treaty that as long as they gave up three princesses every so often, that the dragon would coexist peacefully with them.
Every century.
As it turns out, it's not so much that. It's that the original king had murdered her three daughters, her three baby dragons, and now she wants revenge. And so instead of giving their own children, they marry their son off to a foreign princess. They mix their blood together by slicing their hands, sort of like, you know, Divine Secrets of the Yaya sisterhood. And then they throw the bride down to the dragon. And Elodie, willing to sacrifice her her freedom, her marriage. She's going to marry a guy she doesn't know for the good of her people, this giant bride price. But she's not so much willing to die at the hands of the dragon for a lie. So Elodie is determined to survive.
Great job. That's impressive.
There you go.
Because I probably watched it more recently than you did. I watched it like a week ago.
No, I watched it on Saturday.
Okay, good. So yeah, maybe I would have been able to continue it.
Yeah, you're good.
So what are your thoughts? Damsel.
Okay, so this was actually a recommendation from my 11-year-old daughter. She loved this show. She thought it was so fun. She sat down with like a pen and paper and wrote a story. Like, she just starts writing like her own fan fiction about this whole thing. She's going to be Elodie. She's going to write about her sister Floria and how they're going to lead the kingdom after the whole thing. It was great. Like,
wow.
It inspired so much creativity in her. She thought it was such a great, like, girl power type movie. And I agree. I thought that this was so much fun.
Heck yeah, brother.
It was like an action movie that had a girl theme, like a girl hero, but I don't feel like you had to be a girl to like it. Like, my son, my 9-year-old son watched it as well. He enjoyed it also. So, I mean, he maybe didn't write fan fiction later, but he was really into it.
Maybe he did, he just didn't tell you.
Yeah, that's true. His handwriting.
Yeah, what a heroic tale. This is the kind of movie, for those who are listening or watching or both. My daughter is 4, so a little young for this one. But these are the types of movies I cannot wait to watch with my daughter. Yeah. Like, I can't wait. You've got an awesome hero. Princess Elodie is strong. She's brave. She's loving. She's sacrificial. She's merciful. She's determined. Mm-hmm. Fearless. I mean, she goes, I don't want spoiler alert, but like the things that she ends up doing, what she doesn't even have to necessarily do, and like not everyone necessarily would, are pretty incredible. The stepmom also is a really strong female character who like messes up a few times here and there, says some things that she maybe shouldn't say, but then she like is always there for the girls, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So I absolutely loved it. I'm going to nominate this as one of the best Netflix movies I've ever seen. Give it 2 bearded thumbs up. I know. And I highly recommend this to be a movie that parents watch with their daughters, like with their sons too.
Yeah,
for sure. But like, this is one I can't wait to watch with my kids when they're just a little older.
Yeah, this is a great family movie night movie. There's not really anything in there to be concerned about. You're not going to have any like scary conversations later. There's, I don't think, any swearing. If there is, it's maybe
it's very mild,
like nothing, not, like barely anything. There's no sex, there's no drugs, there's no drinking at all. There is violence in the sense of like a dragon burning people. There is one scary part where like a dead body kind of pops up at you that you weren't expecting, but for the most part it's something totally handleable by kids of most age, if they're willing to see something scary. And it's like, there's not even like, even in the context of getting married, there's not even references to attraction or anything like that, which I feel like we make so many kids things so sexually heavy and so like, who has a crush on who. This was all about duty and honor and those kinds of things. And it inspires that kind of heroic behavior in kids. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
Such a good movie. I don't know. We don't often get to tell you something's awesome.
I'm also looking at Ruby because I think we probably disagree about what age it is okay for, because I do think it was super violent. Like, it was more violent than I expected a PG-13 to be on Netflix. Yeah, I mean, there's impaling, there's burning alive. It's like pretty graphic compared to most PG-13. CGI. Yeah, totally. It's nothing that's going to like scar someone for life by any means. Yeah. Here's the thing. This is where you're at a disadvantage for anything I ever say about stuff like this, because you watch a lot of this stuff with your kids because you know that we're going to do shows on it.
Yeah.
right? And you know the type of parent you are, is that you love to have great conversations with your kids about all this type of content. And if mm-hmm. they see something that they maybe shouldn't, you're like, well, we can have a conversation about it. And that's how we parent. And that's, I think, a really good thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, my take is, if you don't get to be counted in this mm-hmm. because you are watching these with your kids for content, I'm like, if your 10-year-old needs to watch this and your 10-year-old has seen way too much content, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of movies out there that are like for 10-year-olds, and there's no way they've seen all of them. And so
you've got a list and like an order of operations.
Yes, like,
here.
Exactly. Like, okay. if you haven't seen 101 Dalmatians, the real life version yet, like the old school one, not the newest one, not Cruella. Not that yeah. one. The original 101 Dalmatians real life movie. If you haven't seen that yet, don't watch Damsel yet. Just wait. There's other movies out there for you. I think it's a perfect like coming of age movie, like 12, 13.
Okay.
I do. I think it's great.
And that's totally good. I come at movies from a position of, it is better for your kid to have their first experience of something traumatic as being theoretical or fictional. Because if the first time that your kid ever sees a dead body is their grandfather at his funeral, that's going to be massively traumatic. As opposed to the first actual dead body I ever saw has scared the crap out of me for dead bodies. We talked last month about how I'm scared that Paul McCartney's going to jump up at me.
And
I always bring up if there's a scary dead body that comes out of nowhere. And the reason for that for me is because the first dead body I ever saw was a person I knew in middle school who died.
Who looked
and I
like went, Paul McCartney?
No, she was a 8th grade girl. But I went to her funeral with all of my volleyball friends, and she was on our volleyball team, and they had an open casket funeral for a girl who had died in a car accident. So like, it was terrible, and that was very, very scarring for me. Whereas like things that I encountered for the first time theoretically in a movie, I can deal with a whole lot better because it allows you to process that emotion without it being real. I've heard people talk about this, like, this is why you get a kid a dog, so that when the dog dies, it's less traumatic than when their grandpa dies. Yep. You know, that kind of thing. And I've been reading this book lately that I'm going to bring up like a million times this month. I'm sorry, because okay, I really love it. But it has this whole concept of anti-fragility, that like kids, you hear about like trees that don't do well when they're planted in like the biodome because they don't grow deep enough root systems because they're not subject to wind. The wind pushes on the tree's roots grow stronger on one side, the bark gets heavier on the other side, and the tree becomes anti-fragile. It's able to withstand things because it encountered things. And for me, allowing your kid to encounter violence in a very theoretical sense, like there's no dragons in the world, they're not actually scared of that. Or you can tell them that that's not a real thing to be afraid of. This is why monster stories were helpful for kids growing up, because they could encounter these things in theory and grow past them and learn to encounter things in real life. It creates anti-fragility in kids.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
well, you don't have to worry about my kids, because we've watched tons of documentaries that are way worse than any of these movies. So my kids are going to be fine.
The documentaries are ruining the Blevins' children.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, 100%. Jody and I look at each other like, what? Okay, but so interesting. We don't have a dog, but we have said to people that the reason we would have a dog is that exact reason that you just mentioned. And I'm trying to think, like, the first time, I don't know if I remember the first time I saw about it. It must have been Touched by an Angel. That show
that was on Lifetime.
I know, but like, I'm trying to remember. I don't know. It may have also been in middle school at a funeral,
mm-hmm.
where a really and that maybe had a huge impact on me. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I kind of compartmentalize things and then put them away and then don't ever think about them again.
Like,
so who knows,
God,
what kind of impact that had on me?
I was scared to go shower because I was afraid my friend from middle school would pop up when I opened. Like, I was scared to see her face again. So like, not having that be the first, like, I don't know. The theoretical thing, I think, is very, very important. So for me, I would say that this movie is appropriate 8 and up.
No. No way. It's definitely 12 and up. Here's the thing. The plot is morbid.
It is morbid.
That's why. Okay, but this is all fascinating to me.
But I mean, how is it any different than
this is going to be a 50-minute episode, we're going to keep talking. I'm just kidding.
So sorry. But like, how is it any yes, it's morbid, but the idea is that you are sacrificing a human being for the good of your people, because both people believe that to be true, right? Like, even
though
that's
what the 8-year-olds can understand that.
Right. So Robin Wright is clearly a monster in this movie. The queen is clearly a monster in this movie, but she's doing it for the right reasons ish kind of. Yeah. She's definitely embracing it far too much, but here we are. That's not different than, you know, Abraham and Isaac.
Here's the deal.
It's not different than Jesus.
We're gonna have your. I'm dead serious about this. Yeah. In a couple of weeks when we record next, we're gonna have your kids show up on the podcast.
Okay.
And we are going, I'm going to talk to them about things that they're afraid of. And I, but they're going to have to be very honest. I want to know, like, what are they thinking about at 10 p.m. that scares them when lights are off and the doors are closed? Because right now, mine don't have any. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, I was horrified every night when I went to bed my whole life of whatever it was I saw. And you don't seem to have that. You didn't have that.
No.
And maybe your kids don't have that.
I was afraid of our furnace.
Yeah, see, well, that's terror. Furnaces are where
furnaces are
monsters
scary.
Live, so.
Fire
But
monsters.
I want to know. I want to know what they're, because, like, part of this
we'll
is,
bring
like,
them in.
My kids would be, if they saw this, my oldest would be horrified of dragons for the next year. 100%.
But then you would be able to have this conversation. Like, I had this conversation with my son. One of my sons had anxiety when he was younger. And so we went to a therapist, and we had this whole conversation that was so great, where he said, okay, tell me what you're afraid of. You're afraid of monsters, right? And you know, my son was like, yeah, I'm afraid of monsters. And he's like, okay, great. You've been to the zoo, right? If at this, like, there was a tiger there, there's a lion there, every apex predator in the world is in the zoo. Have you ever seen a monster in the zoo? No. You know why? Because if they existed, we would have caught them and stared at them by now. The horrifying things at the bottom of the ocean, we've kind of seen. Not all of it. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of it. But kids don't know that. But, like,
alien
you can have
octopus.
This... alien octopus. Oh, God. But, like, if it's a fake thing, if the thing that they're afraid of isn't real, you can talk to them about, that's actually not real. What you're afraid of is something, you know, that would be too big for you or that would be too difficult for you. And the bigger you grow, the more you grow in virtue, the better you are at overcoming things,
well
the less
done,
those
Ruby.
Things scare
yeah,
you.
Yeah, get them.
Get them.
I'm with you.
Let's do it.
12 years old. And everybody says eight and up. There you go. Enjoy
Damsel,
though.
I'm sorry, Caleb. I tried to get you a movie.
Watch it with the family. It's awesome. He saw us watch Winnie the Pooh. There's a lot of stuff we got to do here, you know? If you want to give us any feedback at all, you can go to isthisforkids.com, find all of the places that you can listen to the podcast, go to our Instagram, go to YouTube. If you're listening on audio and you didn't know we have a YouTube, we have a great podcast set up here, great studio. It's awesome. Leave 5-star reviews.
Yeah, John's beard is fantastic. You can't leave reviews on YouTube, but you can
smash that subscribe button. You can smash the like button and the subscribe button, both.
And something about a
and
bell?
And you can comment. Comment, like, subscribe.
Like, comment, and subscribe. There you
but
go.
But only good comments.
No, I'll respond to your comments. I'm really nice about it.
People troll me all the time, and it really doesn't bother me.
It bothers me sometimes. Like, I defended you on an Instagram reel this week.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this off air.
Yeah. Okay, bye. There's so much content out there for us to go through as parents.
I'm Jonathan Beard of Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is this for kids?